Hey everyone, are you interested in making money from home? If you are, stay tuned for this episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is episode 176 from Vintage Homeschool Moms. Today, our topic is making money from home. And as many of you know, I am a serial entrepreneur. I am very excited when I start another business or adventure, and I am excited to share this episode with you. I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor, Elephant Learning. You can visit elephantlearning.com/mediaangels for our special offer, plus your free 14-day trial with no credit card necessary for up to 3 kids. This is a limited time offer, and we're excited to have this amazing early learning math program as one of our sponsors. And also, I did an interview with the creator of this software, so you'll want to check that out at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, and I'll have a link in the show notes. This episode is found on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. We have some social media buttons there that make it easy to share the show with your friends. And help me out, will you, by liking us on iTunes with a star rating. I always forget to ask you guys about that. So really appreciate your help. And you can also drop me a line at felice@mediaangels.com or on our private Facebook group. There are links on the show notes again to find us over there. Well, let's get started. You know, you may have thought about ways to make money from home. And if you are an entrepreneur at heart, like I am, you know, a lot of things run through your mind. And a lot of times, you know, I will tell you as an entrepreneur that it takes a lot of time and effort to create your own thing. And I've done that with this podcast network when we got started. As of this recording, it's been over 3 years ago. We're going on our 4th year this October. And as I was thinking about doing this, you know, this event, having other podcasters join me by hosting their own podcast, it was a lot of uphill battle and obstacles, everything from software, what we were going to use for the websites, to gathering other like-minded people, to putting together what has now been in the hundreds of thousands per episode and millions of downloads combined. And so, you know, sometimes starting from scratch is a little bit harder than going with something tried and true. So I'm going to talk about a little bit about both of those. And, you know, maybe you think now is the time to launch an online business or a home party business. So if you've been thinking about that and wanting to get started, this is a great podcast to talk about that. So I am, you know, very enterprising, and almost from my very first day of starting my own book business, that happened. Like, you know, I always laugh and say I retired after my illustrious 2-year career as a public school teacher. But when my husband and I decided that when we were expecting our first child, I was going to stay home from work, and I'm really happy that I did, homeschooling really wasn't in my plans, and it turned quickly into a mission once it was in my plans. But during that time, I was looking at our income, and my husband had started his own business with my help. And so he had started a construction business. I was a stay-at-home mom with a little boy, and my brain never stopped working. And as I was helping him launch his business, I was looking into many other things as I was sitting at home with this little one. And one of the things I was thinking about doing was writing books. And so I really started taking classes and learning and working at that while I was, you know, doing other things. And I don't like to waste time. If you've heard of any of my broadcasts, I just did a whole podcast on saving time. And so my mind is always working, whether I'm actually working at something new or fine-tuning what I am doing. And so even though I started teaching, I still was doing other things on the side. My parents owned a very lucrative Italian restaurant in Winter Haven. And at the time, I would work for them part-time. I was teaching school. And I decided that I was going to do this home party thing with some plasticware. I'm going to talk about things in general, like when I say essential oils or home products and things like that, without going into specific name brands. So I thought I would go through the list of some of the things that I've done and then kind of give you a recap of what I'm doing now, as well as some things that will help you kind of fine-tune what would work for you in your season of life now. So the list of things I've done include selling products at home parties, everything from plasticware, home products, makeup, essential oils, and protein energy products. And I began the first venture, as I said earlier, when I was teaching, before I was even married. And as of this writing, you know, you can add to that list writing books, helping others become published authors, public speaking, hosting an online expo for 3 years, and creating a podcast network. And a lot of that is under the umbrella of a publishing company that I started many years ago, and that's Media Angels. So I think I have a little bit of experience to talk about this subject, and I hope you'll agree with me. And as a side note, it's important to me that I share here that the only book I had that failed as a self-published author in terms of a short shelf life was Virtual Field Trips. Now, I've updated this book. It's available online as an e-version, but the print book is no longer available. And when I looked at the why was it that this was the only book out of all of the books that I wrote or co-authored that it did not take off like the other ones did? And the real reason is because I really feel like this was a book that I thought of the idea. I even did an online website, and I didn't really pray about it. I was going off of the success of my other books that really took a lot of prayer and discernment and time on my knees to really think about whether or not I wanted to put in the time and effort that it takes to write a book. And just to give you an idea of the longevity, a lot of these books were written in the 1990s and updated in the 2000s. But they are timeless because I wrote them, if you're a blogger, you know what I mean by evergreen content. And it's a content that is not going to have a short shelf life. And I really believe in the homeschool world in particular, our books tend to last longer. And yes, we update them, but not as much if you're in the publishing world. And this is not a talk on writing and publishing, but typically a book has a shelf life of 6 months to a year, and then they're on to the next thing. So when I launched that book, that was one of the things that I really didn't take into prayer. So I'm going to really encourage you to take some time, especially as a Christian, and pray about that. And if you're listening to this broadcast and you're not a Christian, you may think, you know, what is she talking about? And maybe you think that hard work and believing in yourself and your own ability is all that it takes. But I'm going to tell you that for me, it makes perfect sense that I really have to pray and discern whether or not this is the right thing for me and the toll it's going to take on my family, truthfully. So while I run down my list of ideas, think about what the season is in your life. As you're considering these things, consider the rules that I'm laying out in running a successful business. And I want to encourage you to pray and take it to the Lord and seek His will for your life. And if you do, believe me, things are going to work out well. Well, as I shared earlier, I own and run Media Angels, and that's a publishing company, and that includes books, classes online, this podcast network. And Media Angels started in 1992, but what you may not know is that I didn't write my first book until my oldest two children were in their teens. My focus at that time was homeschooling, and when the opportunity presented itself with speaking on topics related to homeschooling, I started writing, publishing, and speaking. And God's plan was that I had three more children during this process, and my new book is coming out that touches on this topic. However, I want to emphasize family first. If this isn't your season to start something big, you may want to listen to this broadcast, you know, maybe take some notes and keep it for future reference. Or you may be in the fact-finding stage, or you may be ready to start. So whatever that is, you know, take time to look into that. During a critical time in our lives, my husband stopped and he prayed for my business success. And that's really, I have to say, one of the times that I saw a really big spike in my business in terms of, you know, revenue and income. And my husband always teases me and he's always asking me, you know, well, tell me when I can retire. And he's supportive, and that really is a big part of my success in the same way that I have been supportive to him and in the companies that he runs. And so as you look at, you know, your life and your season, you know, what is it that you're trying to accomplish? And that's one of the reasons I shared with you that I started my publishing business at a time when I had some older children, you know, but I also was expecting, you know, which was my third son at the time. And so I was able, by the grace of God, to do this, but with help. And I'm really good at delegating and looking at, I call it my pieces, because when all the pieces are in place, things work out so much better. And even running this network, I have two people that work with me on the back end and getting everything worked out, because without them, I couldn't do what I'm doing. So that's just a little bit of what I'm sharing here. But when I look at, you know, what your, when you look at what your season is, I'm going to go through this as, you know, you're a younger mom with maybe little kids, you're a busy mom, or you're a mom of teens. And we're just going to go from there, because obviously if you're past these stages, you're going to be ready to start, and maybe with a little bit more time than some of these other people. Okay, so let's say you're a younger mom. For me, as a younger mom, and even before I was married, I liked the idea of home parties. And the reason I did was because I like people. So I had tried to write a book as a stay-at-home mom with a little one. And even though I was learning and I took a few courses, I had a hard time getting a publisher to buy the books that I was writing. So that's when I shelved that idea. And I always say I shelved the idea of writing for about 10 years until I started self-publishing. And in the meantime, it didn't mean that I didn't do anything toward that, toward the writing. But as I was doing it, I was taking notes and keeping a list of books that I wanted to write. So if you're at that stage, you know, that might be something that you're doing alongside with something that you're going to do now, like the home parties. So I decided home parties would be a good start. And sometimes I followed a set structure, you know, most of the things that you might want to, you know, present at a home party they have, you know, different ideas of what works, but you also have to make it your own. And I like a hands-on approach to everything. And so even if I was, you know, like showing something like housewares, I would, you know, maybe talk about some new things that came out, but then I'd always have things laid out so that people could look at it, because it's just like going to a store. If you, you know, go to a store and there's something specific that you want, you'll just pick it up, right? But how did you find that product in the first place? You had to look at it, you had to understand it, and then you purchased it. So just understanding a little bit about what motivates people to buy is important. And also, I liked the idea of focusing on something new that other people may not have seen at the time. It also afforded me a chance to socialize, something I liked, and that was different than teaching. So I did that even while I was a teacher, and it gave me some extra money and the ability to either buy the products at a lower rate or make extra money from introducing other people to the products. The second would be for a busy mom. So I looked at products with the least amount of work. At that point, I had switched to some other things because I found for me it was more difficult with little ones to get out of the house. So it had to be something, and I'm going to talk about this too a little bit later on, you know, having a passion for what I was doing and liking what I was doing. Maybe I wanted to purchase something at a reduced rate. So I wanted to earn the free points and get some free products more so than maybe looking at introducing other people to the product. And money, and I'm going to say this, you know, and a lot of you won't believe me, but money was not my main focus when I looked at all of these things. I think the main focus for me was either buying something at a lesser rate, or it was being able, you know, to get something that I liked and shared with other people. It had to be something I really liked. And then as a mom of a teen, I looked for products with a greater growth potential, something that could be scalable. So again, you know, loving the product is important and seeing the value and benefit. And I needed to see almost immediate results. If it wasn't something that I was going to see some, you know, residual income or something that I could see some potential for growth, I don't have, I didn't have as much time. And I know you look at the busy mom and you say, well, she has even less time. But believe me, when your kids get older, you seem to take on more responsibilities and your time seems to shrink instead of getting more plentiful. Anyway, that's how it's happened around here. So I needed to see that there was a great income potential for me to even consider it at this point in my life. And so this is, you know, one of the areas that I looked at was residual income with heavy lifting at the beginning, you know, working it hard, and then the ability to taper off. And you might be curious to know what I do now that makes a good income for my family. And when we come back from this commercial break, I'll be happy to share that information with you. We'll be right back.
Did you know that math is the foundation of all learning? Hi, Felice Gerwitz here with a special offer. Elephant Learning uses the way children naturally learn math to increase their ability at an early age. This program identifies where they are mathematically, what they understand and don't understand, and then provides your child experiences custom tailored to their personal level for learning. They cover a wide range of mathematical concepts for ages 2 through 9. If a child accelerates, this program takes them forward. If they need remediation, it gently takes them back to a more appropriate level. Elephant Learning wants math to be fun. It's like a game, a puzzle that engages your child, and when you step in as a parent and play mathematically at the level they understand, they love it. Get a free math assessment for your child by signing up for their 14-day free trial at elephantlearning.com. Or for our special Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network offer, visit bit.ly/elephantlearningoffer. That's bit.ly/elephantlearningoffer. So if you want your child to be prepared at an early age to succeed in math and all the other subjects, check out this free trial on our website at bit.ly/elephantlearningoffer.
Well, hi everyone and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz and this is episode 176. You can find the show notes at Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today we are talking about making money from home. I want to encourage you to visit our sponsor. Because of our sponsors, it keeps our network going. So I want to thank our sponsor, Elephant Learning, and all of the help that they've given us toward income for this network. Well, right now, as of this podcast, my sources of income vary, which has been very typical for me throughout my life. And I applaud you. If you can take one thing and only focus on that, I think that's great. For me, that hasn't quite been the way it's gone. And a lot of times it's because, for example, the publishing business, that doesn't take nearly as much work. Right now, I wrote a new book last year, and that was called A Few Minutes with God, and that's available on Amazon as well as through my shopping cart. And this year, I'm going to write another book, and I've gone away from curriculum. So that is a journey that has been something that's been on my heart for a long time, and I just needed to wait for the right time. So as I'm freed up in a certain aspect of my business, that allows me more time to focus on something else that I want to do. And my goal right now is to try to write one book, new book a year. So I'm on track to do that for this year. So right now, I'm going to discuss my streams of income, but that don't include my husband's business, although I do help my husband with his business. And again, that's also not, you know, when I talk about these businesses, I'm not working at them, you know, 24/7 or even putting in 40-hour weeks. And I really don't think I work 40 hours, and it might be really fun for me to do an exercise and report back to you and let you know, kind of keep track of my hours. But I did start setting office hours, time when I am just devoted to working on either creating podcasts for the network or working with other authors that I help get published, or, and I was going to talk about that in a minute, or, you know, phone conversations that I have that's part of doing business. So, like I said, I don't even think I put in 40 hours a week, and that's really good because I have other things going on. Okay, so let's look at what are my income streams. So the first is going to be Media Angels Publishing, and under that is included my books, classes that I have that are ready to go that are online. I have membership sites with the Homeschooling with Proverbs. We're actually going to put out a very big membership site coming up. I have audios that I sell from past expos, and this network, the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and our sponsors is under Media Angels Publishing. So that would be my number one income source. The second is going to be a close tie, and that's going to be an essential oils business. And I personally use the doTERRA, and doTERRA has a model that I'm going to explain a little bit about later, tied with the 4Life products, which I'm excited about because of their weight loss and nutritional and energy value. And that has been something that a friend of mine introduced me to. And as usual, and even with the oils, I have to try them and I have to use them for a while before I am interested in sharing it with anyone. And so I don't know about you, but if you're not passionate and excited about it, something, it's really hard to share that with anyone else. And I like the models that they explain work well if you want to make money from those. And that's, you know, something that I will share very little bit about. But with doTERRA, the first is that you can buy the product and encourage three other people that may want to buy and encourage others to buy under them. So it's more like a tiered system or a multi-level marketing. And the same thing with 4Life, but 4Life's a little bit different where instead of just three people, they encourage you to get 10. And the idea there too is that a lot of people like myself are going to start out only wanting to buy the product for themselves to try it, to earn points, and then use those points to offset future purchases before they're willing to share the product with other people. And right now I'm doing a series of podcasts on exercise, and one of my you know, products that I'm using for exercise and losing weight, I forgot the weight part, is the 4Life products, not necessarily as a meal replacement, but as more of an energy boosting, and they have some protein bars that I like. And I was sharing with a friend the other day that, like unlike some other protein bars where you can eat, you know, a whole protein bar and still be hungry for a while, or half a protein bar, which I try to do because I don't like anything that is has no sugar in it, because non-sugar products make me sick. So I eat things with a little bit of sugar, or as least amount as possible. And with these energy bars, I was able to eat like 1/8 of one and not feel hungry. And so that's a really good thing for me. So I was excited about that. And the third thing is, as an author consultant, and probably one of the reasons that that's last on my list is because I give that the least amount of my time. I work with only three authors at the same time, no more than that, because when I have a project, I like to get it done and focus on it. And there's a lot of back and forth. So when I work with an author, they'll send me their manuscript. I'm a content editor. I'll go through it, send it back to them. Then they'll go through it again and send it back to me. And then at that point, it goes to our grammatical editor, and then it goes to the layout person and so forth. And then at that point, I'm just managing their project, and then I can go work on another content edit. And that has been something I've really enjoyed doing. And like I said, if that was a focus of my business, it might be in a different order than some of the other ones. So, you know, even if I add all these things together, none of them add up to a 40-hour week. And I do things, which I call in pockets of time, and I manage to set aside 20 or 25 minutes a day to work on certain aspects of a specific business daily. So, for example, my essential oils take it the least amount of time because that's at a point of growth right now. And for example, a friend of mine asked me to do a home party, whereas in the past, people that know more about it, you know, have come to visit me. Like a friend of mine came and she was going through different states, and she came to my house and she shared about essential oils, and I just had some friends come over. So that worked out. But now a friend has asked me to teach a class, so I'm going to do that, and I'm looking forward to that. But I don't do a lot of that, you know, other than just telling people about it. And it's really funny because with essential oils, one of the things I've done is I've purchased some of the little samples. And I remember being at a networking event for my husband, because I network for him 1 hour a week. Well, actually it comes out to about 3 hours a week probably, but it's on one day. So it's consolidated just on that one day. And it starts at 7 a.m. So by 10, I'm done. But when I was at an event, one of my friends, her dad's a doctor and her father-in-law is a doctor, but she ended up, you know, with a really bad cold, and she goes, "Oh, I've got to call, you know, my dad and get a Z-Pak." And I said, "Well, before you do that, you know, are you interested in trying any essential oils?" And she said, "Yeah, I really am. I've wanted to look into it. I just don't have time." So I said to her, "Well, here are a couple of samples. Try these and let me know." And so she used, with a doTERRA, the On Guard and the Breathe, because she couldn't breathe at all. And she was like texting me later on going, "I cannot believe it. My head has cleared. This stuff is great. How do I get it?" And so a lot of times that's all you have to do is share it in a way like that. Right now, the For Life is taking the bulk of my time, because that is in the growth stage. And I'm excited to see the potential there for residual revenue down the road. So if you're interested in talking to me further about any of these business opportunities, even podcasting, essential oils, For Life, or becoming an author, email me at felice@mediaangels.com. Realize I get a ton of emails, so in the reference, put what you want to know more information about, and I'll be happy to send you that. And then here are some ideas that can really help you decide what is the best route for you. Okay, so I'm going to do rules, and I know you're probably rolling your eyes at this point and going, "Oh my gosh, she's going to give me some rules." But these are my rules that I use before I start anything else. And number one is, are you caught up on everything? I'm going to tell you I fudge on that one a little bit, because I'm never caught up on everything. However, I do, as I said, use pockets of time. I wish I could say I was super organized and I have everything on a calendar. And I've just pulled out my calendar. I can see it from where I'm sitting right here. And it also, I have an online calendar that I use mostly for phone conversations I'm going to have or meetings, because that helps remind me on my phone. But I like to see everything like a month at a glance. For example, all the podcasts I'm going to record for February, that's already laid out. So I know the topics I'm going to talk about. And then some of the events that I have that are coming up, and those are important too. The other is, my second rule is, I have to have my spouse's support. And I'm going to tell you, at one point I didn't, and he and I went head to head on a lot of different issues. And it really did not help my cause at all. It caused me a lot of heartache, and it was very, very difficult. So that's important, to have your spouse's support. The third is, if you're passionate about your product or service, you know, you have to love it. If you write a book, I'm going to tell you right now, you better love that topic or feel like the Lord is leading you to that topic, because by the time you're done reading it, you are going to hate it. And the reason for that is, you don't ever want to see it again. And every time you look at it, you find some little mistake. And that's just the nature of writing. And I know if you've read any book, you will find something, some glaring error, and you wonder how the heck they could let that slip by. And believe me, it's because they've read it so many different times that it does slip by. Number four, I call this my bandwidth. We run out of energy and time, don't we? Especially as homeschool moms. So it's important to figure out how much time it's going to take and your ability to keep up. You know, I'm going to tell you, even though my kids are in college now, I still read a lot of papers. I still talk to my kids. I listen to them. Just the other day, I got off the phone with my daughter, who was talking about doing a 4-page paper on an art project, and it's a requirement at her school that she has to take this art class. And she's not an artist at all, nor does she have art appreciation in her makeup. However, I love art. And so I was so excited to just sit there and listen to what she was thinking about doing and giving some input. She also has another class that she has to do a presentation. And I always find it humorous when they ask my opinion, and anything I recommend is totally shot down. So it's still, you know, hours on the phone, or hours, you know, here at the house with my youngest son, and, you know, working through some of those things, you know, and so how much time am I going to have? And that's important to me. And the last thing on my list, and notice this is last, is to make money. It will come, and every single venture I've worked on has made money, but I stay with the things that I'm passionate about. I had an author at one point that I published, and this author made me an extremely, a huge amount of money. Let's just put it that way. But I was not able to continue with that author for several reasons. And there have been two authors in my history of publishing that this happened with. So when, you know, no one can ever accuse me of only doing things to make money, because if I have to compromise my beliefs, or if I have to compromise a friendship, I will not do that for the sake of making money. So I just want to share that little bit with you. That also is why I no longer publish other authors. And, you know, for that, I'm truly sorry, because at one point I had a link on my website, and if you were interested in publishing a book, I was interested in looking at it. But it's because that took a lot of time out of my life. And something that the Lord showed me was not anything that, you know, should be my focus. So that just is a little bit about the rules and what makes me tick, and that kind of thing. So I'm going to go through some things that people like to do, and we're going to just look at them. So let's just talk about finding your passion. Now, I know number one with a lot of people is blogging, and I'm going to share with you observation from some of us that have been around a while. And when I say around a while, those of us who have owned our own publishing company or have self-published and have been there before the big blogging craze, okay? That has happened in my lifetime, you know, along with cell phones. Yes, there was a time when you know, we didn't have cell phones and even personal computers. So I'm really dating myself here. But what we found with bloggers is unless you have a different spin or you can produce blog posts daily that have some level of expertise and you know how to promote on social media, this is going to be a long, slow road. The downside is that it's overdone. And what the observation from a lot of my friends is about 90% of the blogs look the same. And so if you're going to blog, really pray, discern, and have a different spin on things. On the upside is the ability to make residual income from affiliates. And so that is a good point there. A lot of times people blog just for their own self-pleasure. And that, you know, could be a value, but realize, you know, what is it that you're doing? How much time is it taking from your family? And look at some of the other things that I shared with you earlier. The second is a service. So is that tutoring or teaching? Early in my teaching career, I remember my mom asking me if I would tutor one of her friend's children in algebra. And I found that it's so funny because I probably wouldn't say math was my favorite subject, but for some reason I really like algebra. I would much rather write and, you know, do more of the creative types of things. But I've tutored quite a few kids in algebra in my, past history of doing a service type of a thing. And I was able to teach very quickly and find what they were struggling with and remedy that quickly. So that was something that even way back in the day, I was getting paid something like, you know, $15 to $20 an hour. Again, it's not a 40-hour week where you could really make some money, but it also was a residual that was really good. So maybe you do have some level of expertise and you can help tutor some children. That's great. Piano teachers, obviously, you know, that's a very big thing, or any kind of music lessons. One of my friends' children's were all their kids played the violin and they were violin teachers. Again, a very good thing. Downside is time away from your family, limited availability, and it's hard to scale because there's only one of you, right? And that's something I really didn't talk a lot about. And that's one of the things that I like about, like for example, the forlife.com or the essential oils, is it's very scalable without a lot of extra effort. And if it's just you, it's hard to just, you know, have more. There's only one of you, right? The upside is that there's ability to make money quickly and you can use your talents to help others. So that's wonderful. All right. So let's look at products, you know, selling products. You must love it. Whether it's a book you've written or a product you're selling, you are the biggest advocate. So I'm going to take a look at just a couple of the things here. I'm going to take a look at the essential oils, for example. So I used a lot of different essential oils and I found some were just like super weak. And like, there's one popular brand that a lot of people like, and it has an awful lot of blends. I like more of the pure essential oils and sometimes I'll make my own blends, but, anyway, I tried those and I thought, gosh, they're really weak. I purchased them at health food stores, like for example, lavender, which I love. And I had some that people gave me samples of. And finally, I found one that I loved. And first I had to be committed to purchasing it myself, trying it with my family and friends and, you know, giving it away. You know, it's probably one of the best things that you can do is to invest a little bit in the product. And that has really helped me with that. The second with the For Life, and one of the products is an energy booster that I absolutely love. And I find that it helps me when I take it after lunch and I have a tremendous amount of energy and I feel great. My husband's taking some of the products that he really, really likes. And he's my biggest test, you know, my test bunny, because he'll try things and just say, you know, it hasn't worked at all. And so if it works on him, then I know we have a winner. And so that's the thing. He doesn't like the oils as much because he can't get beyond the smell. And some of them, I will agree, are very strong. So he has to be, you know, really sick before he'll use one of the essential oils. And he puts up with me using them, which is good. But so for him, this other, the Four Life stuff, he really likes. The other is protein shakes. My kids are into training, and I was buying protein anyway, you know, that they could mix with water, and spending money on that. So I was delighted to be able to find a company that had, you know, I look at the ingredients, what's in it, and I can buy this, you know, these huge canisters of protein powder for my kids and get credit on my purchases. Plus, I, you know, make money doing it. So this company has an aggressive track of making money if you want to go that route, and that's one of the things that you can look at. The downside is you're always promoting. You know, there's in-home classes that take time and things like that. So you have to look at what works for you. And the upside is if you love what you're doing, you believe in the value of the products and helping others to make money, if that's what you want to do residually without working a business every single day, then that's for you as well. I know people who have done really well with the oils, and I have a friend who's maybe done it for a year, and she can pretty much walk away from her other commitments and just focus on that. So whatever it is that you like that works for you, you know, I highly recommend that. And the fourth is sales. You know, you, again, must love that product or service. The downside is you're always selling, and which can be exhausting, which takes me back to point number one, passion sells, you know. So if it's something you really like for example, this podcast network, I can talk to people about podcasting, and I'm so excited about it. And I had talked about doing a local podcast network, and I have about 8 people ready to go. But I haven't done it yet, because there's going to be a lot of training involved, because none of these people have any speaking experience other than expertise in their business. So once I get 2 more people, I have my 10, there is a facility in town that I'm going to take them. They will train, and then we'll go from there. So sometimes, even if you're passionate about something, there have to be some things in place before you'll go forward with it. And you just have to look at what works for you. And the upside is with sales is it's an adventure. You get to meet other people, and it keeps you on your toes and learning constantly. And that's something that I am a perpetual student. I love to learn, and I love to teach, as you can tell from these podcasts that I do on Vintage Homeschool Moms. You know, success is really subjective. I've had success in almost every venture, some more than others, but understanding your motivation and putting helping others and the belief in your product or service first is important. And then realizing, for me anyway, that the money aspect comes last. And this is going to help you in understanding and tweaking your own strategy. I pray this episode has been a blessing. I invite you to invite your friends to listen, like us on iTunes, and grab the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, episode 176. God bless everyone, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.